Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Forgot about that. That was horrible.
Yeah, he is weird. He is weird. This song's not weird, though. Our next guest, not weird. Not like Russell Wilson. Though he did do something I think is kind of weird. We'll get to that. Elliot Shore Parks' call is brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. On a week with a lot of drama, we're bringing a guy to help us figure it all out. Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, how we doing?
Man, one thing I didn't consider in all this is how can Jalen and AJ fight during the best time of the year? It's Christmas season.
Christmas.
Everyone's supposed to be on the same page.
Just put some music on.
Exactly. Should I go in the locker room today, just blast some Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You," and see if that sets the mood better?
Button up people's shirts.
Yeah, that can't make.
All right, we're going to get into that.
Well, we have to ask. We'll wait on that though. Let's get to the more important stuff first. Elliot, where are you at right now with all this? Because there's been a lot. I mean, there's been a lot from Sunday to today, and I'm just curious, what have you felt as the week has gone on? Because you were the one that kind of got the question that led AJ down the path he went down. Where are you on your thoughts on how big of a deal we're dealing with right now?
So being at the locker on Sunday next to AJ when he answered, my reaction was not like, wow, that's a big shot at Jalen. Like, obviously he's talking about the passing game, and I completely understand why it could be perceived that way, especially after what Brandon Graham said. My initial reaction, though, was not like, wow, that's like he's throwing Jalen under the bus. But so that's the first part of it. But since everything that has happened, obviously Nick just spoke, and I know you guys played it. So, like, that last answer he gave about, like, why it matters, why relationships in sports matter, I thought was such a perfect example of, I guess, where I'm at with this. Like, I can talk myself into saying, hey, there, like 45-8 or whatever, like, or they're 37-8, Jalen and AJ are when they play together. They've been to a Super Bowl together. They're 10-2, you know, right now. Like, there is a real world where, like, none of this matters. But what Nick just said about how when you're really close with somebody and how you have a great relationship with them and when you are friends, like, that's that extra little bit, right? So I just ultimately think it is just not a good thing that the franchise quarterback and the number one receiver seem to be very much not on the same page.
Elliot, what do you think now? Like, how if you could draw this up to try to fix this, what do you think the game plan should be? Sirianni might have done some of this already, but is this on Sirianni to try to, you know, kind of sit down with these two guys and get them to talk it out? Or ultimately, is it just on them? I mean, I think back to Andy Reid. For as great of a coach as he is, he couldn't fix T.O. and Donovan. They just and they're still beefing
still Anna
over nonsense on WIP. Yeah. Do you think it's on Nick, or is it ultimately just on the two people that seem like they have a problem right now?
So I think it's on, in this instance, Jalen and AJ. And the reason I say that is because none of us know what this is about. Is it about targets? Is it about, you know, like football? Is it not about football? I mean, these two were obviously very close. I don't know how long ago, but like when AJ was traded here, obviously they were very close, right? And even after the Super Bowl season, AJ was very supportive of Jalen when, you know, he was going through his kind of contract negotiation with the Eagles. So like they have clearly been very, very close. So for this to get to something where it seems like they're not anymore, it's just hard for me to believe that's only about football, but like it's a friendship. So, it's, you know, I don't even want to speculate on it. So like, that's why I put it on the players. Like Nick can only do so much here if it's an issue between Jalen and AJ.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. All right, Elliot, what do you expect on Sunday now? Because there's a lot of different ways they could go about this. They could just do the same game plan they've been doing and hope AJ doesn't pout if he doesn't get many targets, or they could try to make sure he gets targets, you know, in a way they could force feed targets to AJ Brown and try to keep him happy. How do you think they play it now after all this?
I don't think they'll try to force feed AJ. Now, I think AJ will probably get the ball, but I don't think you can change the way you play based off AJ. That's a bad precedent. Like if it is AJ complaining about targets and then they completely change the way they run the offense, like I don't know how that does with the relationship with other players in the locker room, right? Like if you're an offensive line or you're Devontae, if you're Saquon, and, you know, all of a sudden after 9 straight wins, you're changing how you run things because of AJ. Like, I don't think that would go over well. And the other part of it is, I don't know if they can do it, right? Like, I think Jalen is probably a better passer than he's kind of being discussed right now nationally and somewhat locally. But I don't know if they can basically throw a game by, like, saying, you know what, we're gonna make Jalen throw it 40 times so we know AJ gets, like, 14 targets or whatever. I think you'll probably see somewhat of the same offense.
Elliot, you've been watching and posting a lot of the clips of the passing game. What do you think is going on here? Because there's a lot of different theories out there. One theory is that Jalen just doesn't see the field. Like, we see it's open, but for whatever reason, in the pocket or wherever he is, he's not seeing it the same way we're seeing it on the camera. Or the other theory is he's just gun-shy. All the interceptions earlier in the season, he's trying to protect the ball, and it's almost like he's gotten too conservative here. What's your guess as you watch it?
So I'll use two plays to kind of explain why I'm maybe not as concerned about other people as other people are. So the big play everyone's talking about this week is when AJ's wide open at the beginning of the game, right? Second play of the game, AJ's open down the field. Like, why aren't you throwing it, right? So you rewatch it, and J.C. Horn is sitting right in between Devontae and AJ. And at the time Jalen has to make a decision, to me it looks like he doesn't know who he's going with. Now, you could say, like, sit in the pocket a little longer, wait to see where J.C. Horn commits, and he eventually commits to Devontae. But what he does is he checks it down to Dotson. And I understand why you want that ball thrown to AJ. Like, go give him a chance. Even if J.C. Horn's leading that way, like, he's open. Like, go throw it to him. But ultimately, I think the Eagles' best path to winning is Jalen not turning the ball over. And that is going to result in a lot of plays where it's like, hey, he's open, throw it. And he doesn't. Like, early in the season, I thought he tried to squeeze one in to Devontae against New Orleans. That was an interception. A few weeks ago against Dallas, he tries to squeeze one in to Dallas Goedert. That was intercepted. So I don't think it's a he doesn't really know what he's looking at thing. Like, that's not my read on it. I think he's just being overly protective of the ball. And honestly, I'm fine with that.
Elliot, let me throw a third theory at you. And I haven't watched enough of the replays and tape to kind of know if I'm right on this. It's just a theory. Elliot, we know Jalen likes to throw the deep ball. We know when it's one-on-one to AJ, he likes to take those shots and he's good at it. It feels like, at least this past game, that there was more zone. Like, the play you're referencing was a zone, right? The corner was making a decision. I just wonder if teams are going to start saying, like, we're not playing man anymore. We're going to play zone, and he's either going to hold it, run away from the pocket, or he's going to check it down. Like, it just feels like they're taking away the one thing he's good at, really good at still, and he likes to do. And if that's the case, this doesn't change until he gets better at this.
So I don't completely disagree with that. I definitely think that, you know, Jalen, this is what, his fourth year as a starter now? Mm-hmm. Like, the book is somewhat out on him, like it is on every quarterback when they've been out there for 4 years. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you. But I also think that this is what we do a little bit with Jalen, where we try to think of, well, what if this situation happens? What if this situation happens? Like, they haven't lost in 9 weeks. So it's not like all of a sudden the Panthers were like, hey, we'll play zone, and, like, this is going to be a big problem moving forward. I'm sure that, you know, they get a lot of different looks on defense. The offense talked about that in terms of why it's a slow start. And nobody's really been able to solve yet how to completely shut down the offense. Because if you put a ton of, like, your game planning and your coaching into stopping Jalen throw the ball, well, we know they have Saquon Barkley in the offensive line. So I definitely think it's a fair point. I think there could end up being a world where, you know, the fourth quarter in Detroit, they have to throw it at, like, 9 straight times, and we'll see what Jalen does there. But I don't think that they have, like, a massive problem in the passing game, because clearly they're winning all the time.
Well, they're winning. They're winning in spite of it this past Sunday, at least, and the other games.
I disagree, Steve, but that's where I disagree with you. Like,
but they,
like,
couldn't throw the ball Sunday.
Right, but what would you say was the biggest, like, difference in that game between winning and losing the game?
I mean, I guess the Panthers turned it over once and the Eagles did not.
That's a big deal. Like, for everyone that's like, Bryce Young played better than Jalen. Well, Bryce Young made the biggest mistake of the game. If he doesn't throw that interception, the Eagles don't get the ball before half. They don't score.
Right.
They're losing it.
Like, but that's what it took to. That's what it took to beat a team that hasn't been favored to win a game in 2 years.
Right, but with that, like, the Panthers over the last month have been far more competitive. I don't think they played their best game. They played a C-minus game, or whatever you want to say, on Sunday. So I'm not sitting here and being like, it's hard to beat the Panthers. I agree they didn't play great. But the point I'm making is, like, when you say they're winning in spite of the passing game. I don't think that's true. Like, yes, the running game is better than the passing game, but they make big plays in the passing game. They make big plays on third down, and they don't turn the ball over. And that, like, it just can't be looked past. I know because it's a zero, it's not a stat that people, like, will point to, but the fact that Jalen still moves the ball through the air for the most part without turning the ball over is like a major bonus for this team.
So I agree with that. I just think, like, full season wise, I think you're right. It's not held them back as much. I think we're trending the wrong way. Like, this, if this happens again Sunday, it's panic time on the passing game. It's 2 weeks in a row where it looks like a backup quarterback is playing out there. That's the way,
so,
like, in the passing game.
I disagree with you there too. And, you know, me and you rarely disagree. So this is, like, to say he looked like a backup quarterback, like, he doesn't, though. He just doesn't. Like, I've heard you say that, you know, you could put in any backup or whatever. You could
Kenny
put in a lot
gloves.
Of guys.
He put Kenny two gloves.
Ellie, in the last 2 weeks, what's the throw he has made that anyone can't make?
I didn't say he didn't make a throw anyone else can't make.
But besides his scrambling, what is he doing the last 2 weeks that Kenny Pickett couldn't do?
But you can't just say, besides not turning it over and not scrambling, what does he do? Those are two huge parts of playing quarterback. If we're talking about just as a passer, yeah, I agree, right? Like, he is not a great passer. But we're not talking about as a passer. You're saying replacing him as an entire player, right? Like, there was a play at the end
but
of the
But hold on. I just want to pause for a second. Because we're scrambling, but there's also plays that someone else might make if they sit in the pocket. Like, no one talks about those. It reminds me of baseball where you're like, well, this guy doesn't make errors. Well, he can't get to the ball. So, yes, Jalen will scramble once every four times for 20 yards, or like the 35-yard on Sunday. What a great play. But what about the six plays if he doesn't move and he stands there? There's a wide-open guy that someone else might just hit. Like, it's not just the plays he makes. What about the plays he's leaving on the field? No one talks about those until this week now.
I agree with you. If you put, I don't know, let's say Matthew Stafford. If you put Matthew Stafford back there, he would probably make more plays in the passing game than Jalen does. You're right. But there would also be times where Matthew Stafford was sacked or where Matthew Stafford threw an interception. So, like, yes, you're right. Different quarterbacks have different skill sets and different strengths. But what I'm saying is when you talk about putting a backup quarterback in there, not a lot of backups can take care of the ball. That's why they're backups. Not a lot of backups can make the runs that Jalen can. Like, when two guys are in his face on first and 10, he's about to get sacked at the 45, and instead they have a first down, like, on the 15. Like, that's a big deal. So me and you sound like we're mostly on the same page as a passer. I just think that what's happening with Jalen is we're ignoring so many other parts of his game that really do help this team win.
Well, they do. I mean, it's part of the reason why they've won. I mean, the lack of turnovers, you're right about that. It is a big one. All right, Ellie, before we wrap this up,
we were going to play
the audio from yesterday, but I just figured, well, let you explain it to this audience. So, from what I understood yesterday, listening to the afternoon show,
you putting on people clothes.
You button Saquon Barkley's shirt.
Look. I would gladly button Hugh's shirt, Joe's shirt.
No, you wouldn't, because I'm not gonna let you.
Well, I would have rolled him until he told me no.
God, that was uncalled for.
All right, so here's what happened. So I'm standing at the locker. He just set the franchise record for rushing. So obviously,
that's how he validates it right there. You see, he validated
that's
it.
That's a detail that's not even doing anything.
I got to be a moment of history, Hugh. I get it.
Since you put it in that light, okay, you proceed to tell the story.
Well, the reason I say that is because there's a lot of people waiting to talk to Saquon. A lot of cameras, all the reporters, we're all like crammed in front of his locker. Hugh, you know how it is, right?
And he chose you.
He chose me. As I would guess, the most stylish one there. He was like, this guy knows how to button.
Oh, now it makes sense, right? Yeah.
But anyway, apparently I don't know how to button a dress shirt because he puts his wrist out, right? I'm like, all right, got you. Like, I'll help. And it took me easily 45, 50 seconds to button the first one. Like, they were the most slippery buttons I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, just for clarity, this is a button on around
Wait,
the wrist
he, see,
or the
he
chest.
Telling, he ain't telling the whole story, though, because he said something about you were nervous. You were nervous?
Well, no. So this is the second button. So I finally get the first button. I'm starting to feel a little
bit better.
But
before you go on, I just need to know, where on the shirt are these buttons?
They're on his wrist.
Okay.
The wrist.
Okay.
Cuff,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just, just want to make sure.
Yeah, so they're on the wrist. So I'm guessing it's a very nice shirt because I've never experienced buttons this slippery. It doesn't feel like those are the buttons.
He's like some silk, some real silk or whatever.
Yeah, this is an expensive button I was dealing with.
Is it soft?
So,
and supple?
So we get to the second button, like the second sleeve. And at this point, like, it's not going well again. So we're probably like a minute into this whole me trying to button his shirt thing. And he asked me if he said, are you shaking? And I wasn't. I didn't think so, but I guess the observation was.
You was nervous. The moment was too big.
Well, because everyone's looking. The like, moment,
the moment
like,
was
waiting.
Too big.
Everyone's waiting to talk to the leader and like the new franchise leading rusher, and I'm sitting there. I'm holding this all up because of the button. So it was
what is he? What is he doing while you're doing the buttoning? Like that he couldn't do the buttoning, and he asked you. Like, is he doing a different getting dressed task, like shoes
no,
or something?
No, you want to know what he was doing?
Yeah.
He was doing what everyone else was doing, just staring at me as I did this. Literally everybody there is just waiting for me to do this.
I got to ask.
Go ahead.
Did he had on pants, right?
Yeah, he was fully dressed.
Okay, because I was about to say, if he had on pants, then... That just makes this awkward.
I'm actually, Elliot, the story here is not about you. It's kind of bizarre that he asked you to button his button, if I'm being honest.
Look, Joe, me and you have had this talk, like, as two football guys.
Yeah,
football guys recognize football guys, you know? So I'm sure, Hugh, there was times where you're on the field, and it's like, hey, put my shoulder pad back in my shirt, right? So
that's something different than putting on my
buttons.
Yeah.
Helping someone is always helping someone, especially this time of the year.
You know what? I'm glad we circled back that. It is the holiday season, Elliot. So everyone in Philadelphia, if you need a button, Elliot Shure Parks is
your guy.
As long as they're not slippery.
Yes, no slippery buttons. Elliot, thank you for hopping on. It's good. It's been quite a week. I'm sure it'll be more of that. We'll see you Sunday at the pregame, Elliot.
All right, sounds good.
There he goes. Elliot Shure Parks as we debate Jalen and the buttons. Again, I think the story really here is Saquon. Saquon asking someone else to, like, I don't know, would you guys ask someone to button your button?
My wife?
I was thinking the same thing. Other than my wife, I've never asked anyone to button a button.
I probably wouldn't ask you guys to button my button.
I would just button my own button.
So I'm disappointed in Elliot. Not because of the button thing.
Yeah.
But like Elliot to me is very often, to his credit, an eye test guy. There are contexts to numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's peddling the stats that he's got a good completion percentage. He's not turning the ball over. Can we do more math on the show, if you'll allow me?
Oh, we got more math?
Yeah.
What a math day.
This one I think is one you guys will be able to latch on to.
Get your calculators ready, everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, just simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's more likely to have a .666 batting average? A batter who takes 10 at-bats or a batter who takes 100 at-bats?
10 at-bats. You get, right. 6 out of 9.
It's just basic statistics,
sure.
Correct?
Yeah.
So, like, Jalen Hurts is a high completion percentage because he completes 8 of 10 passes. That's an 80% completion percentage. That's great, right? You know what it also does? It limits the amount of times that you're putting the ball in harm's way. And you're not, I love that he's not turning the ball over, but he's not taking chances. Like, there should be a balance here, a happy medium. Take the shot downfield to AJ.
I get what he's saying. Let me put this in perspective that even I understand. Like, it's like my $2 parlays. You know what I mean? When I hit them 8-leggers and I could have probably made more money if I put like a little bit more money down on it. Yeah, you got to take a little bit more chances.
Yes.
But that's not what Jalen is right now.
Also,
he's doing a $2 parlay.
There is a secret problem here that no one's talking about. And this is another thing about volume. Look at the percentage of time he takes a sack. It's enormous. But because he only drops back 20 times a game, it's like, well, I only took, what, 2 or 3 or 4 sacks?
Yeah, but this...
4 sacks on 20 dropbacks is a disaster.
Yeah, especially with this O-line.
Right.
And if you're telling me that they have 4 seconds, you're telling me that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith aren't shaken free? Like that there's nobody open?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing that I think is the most egregious is because we've seen him throw it to them when they're covered, like by multiple people. He's not throwing it now.
Yeah, no, he's not. All right, 215-592-949. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Tom in Abington.
Sorry, I do have a piece of maybe breaking news.
Oh.
It's going around now.
What is maybe breaking news?
Yeah, what does that sounder sound like?
We do not have one yet.
We should
get one.
I need the maybe breaking news sounder. This could be real.
You need to get a sounder before you tell us.
I say maybe because Schefter and Rappaport have not aggregated this themselves yet.
Oh, so it's almost real.
Yes. But a lot of places are, like, more than, usually it's just one rando, they tweet it, and it gets a little bit of traction and it goes away. But a lot of places are picking this up right now. And they're saying Belichick to UNC.
It seems over the last day it's picked up steam.
Yes.
Like as if this is real. He was answering questions on McAfee a couple of days ago. And he was saying, if I was coaching a college program, almost like putting himself in the position that he might actually take that job.
Yeah. So, and this is according to Inside Carolina, which is a big UNC
publication.
Yeah.
What do you got? You going to I told you so, Wes?
I ain't saying nothing.
No, yeah, I see you over there. You didn't call UNC.
Your smile, man.
I'm saying wrong school, but I was right. And it happened this week.
What, they took a college job?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying,
What do you want, a party?
I do. I want a party.
A celebration?
I want y'all to start listening to what I'm saying.
Congratulations, Hugh Douglas.
Stop poo-pooing the ideas that I throw out there.
Are you claiming you have sources?
No.
He's got theories, is what he has.
The celebration's over.
That's enough. Let's go to Tom in Edmonton. What's up, Tom? Tom!
Tom, the moment was too big for Tom. He blew it.
Tom's heading down to UNC.
Come on.
Belichick. Let's go to Kim, who's in Fairless Hills. Hey, Kim.
Kim.
Kim going once. Kim going twice.
That's the first time the moment's been too big for a lady. That was the first time that's ever happened.
Usually,
guys, the moment are too big for the guys.
Let's take a deep breath give Tom one more shot. Tom in Abington. Hey, Tom.
Oh, he blew it again.
Oh, you know what? Totally on me.
That's your fault?
Did you pot them probably, down?
Yeah, because,
Tom, that's on Kyle. Tom, go ahead.
Yo, fellas. What's up, Tom? Today? Kyle's an idiot. What it do, Holidays, you?
What's going on, man?
Hey, wait, this AJ thing isn't a mess, Joe.
It's not?
No, it is a big old mess. This thing is like a big old onion. It's got a ton of layers to it. Every time someone peels a layer back, it stinks even more. And by the end of it all, it just might make me cry.
You're not the only one, Tom. I mean, if we repeat this week again, we're all crying soon.
So just to get it right, we got 11 coming out and calling out one, and he did that in public. And then we got 55 coming out, and he's calling out 11 for calling out one in public. Oh, and by the way, 55 did that in public. Is that about right?
That sounds about right. And loudly on a microphone.
That's about what happened. And this is going on for a couple years now. I mean, this harkens back to last year, I think, and I think that's why BG did what he did, because he's at wit's end and he didn't know what else to do. I don't think this thing gets solved, and I think by the end of this year, I think one of these guys is outensy.
Tom, I think that if
it has been floated.
Yeah, if it doesn't get solved, Tom, we always appreciate the phone call. And you wading through Kyle potting you down and not letting you speak.
It was a disaster.
So it has been floated to you. I think it's just reality, though. If it's two straight years where these guys may have an issue and this thing doesn't end well, right? If they go to the Super Bowl, we're all going to move on. We'll be in Louisiana having fun. But if it doesn't work... Yeah, isn't it just logic that one of them won't be here next year?
Well, it all depends on how it goes, because I think that a lot of us feel like this weekend is going to be, it's coming to a head this weekend. I think everybody feels that way. It's hard to say, man, because I look at it like this. I know we've kind of talked around the perimeter of this, but it's hard to find a quarterback. And I'll say that again. It's hard to find quarterbacks. I don't think that this is over. Just let me say that, and I think that this gets fixed this week. I think this press conference today is going to be enlightening.
Jalen?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure they'll carry that in the afternoon
today,
show. About around 4 o'clock?
I think this is going to be enlightening.
If it goes bad, I will say I think there's a real chance one of them's not here.
Do we get an answer reminiscent of his answer to Nick Sirianni?
No, he's going to be more – he has to be more pointed.
Boy.
Yeah, I just want to throw in there. It might be harder to find a quarterback. It's easier to find a Jalen than it is an A.J. Brown.
I don't believe that.
Oh, I think you're nuts.
But okay, I think I agree with you. I do agree with you. It's easier to find a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, which is what Jalen looks like right now.
Than a top-five receiver.
You wouldn't know who Jalen Brown was. You wouldn't know who A.J. was unless he was playing with Jalen.
Excuse me?
He commanded a first-round pick in Tennessee.
The dude got traded. They gave him away. In Tennessee, and then the dude got fired.
Hugh Ike stood up and almost threw a party because we traded for A.J. Brown. We all knew who A.J. was.
Because I know football.
No,
we knew.
Everybody knew who AJ Brown was. What are you talking about?
Listen, I'm telling you, but AJ Brown.
No,
he got better here.
You're off your rocker.
Exactly, he got better here.
So I hope this isn't the conversation in February. It very well could be. I agree with you, Kyle. It's harder to find a top five receiver than it is a middle of the pack quarterback. But if you fail at finding the replacement, it's worse to have a bad quarterback than it is an okay wide receiver. Like that's the other end of the spectrum. If they move on from Jalen. Like, yeah, maybe they upgrade. What if they downgrade?
Yeah, but I think there's a better version of the Eagles' offense next year with different QB, AJ and Devontae.
Maybe.
Than the chances of just Devontae, another receiver.
We get worse at quarterback.
I mean, think about how hard it is for us to get a receiver in the first place. We got Jahan Dotson this offseason. Like, AJ Brown and Smith things have masked the fact that we suck at taking receivers.
215-592-9494. For your phone calls on all this. And we got to hit you with the latest from the Phillies hot stove. Winter meetings wrapping up. What is going on with the Phillies? Rob Thompson spoke publicly yesterday about the Alec Boehm trade rumors. You'll hear that. And maybe a replacement for him at third base. All next. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes. Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. I'm talking about pork. Put some pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon. Y'all know how I feel about bacon. Ham and ham steaks are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. If you need inspiration, visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. This season, go beyond tradition and find your flavor with Hatfield.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, while all this nonsense, drama is going on with the Eagles this week, the Phillies are down in Dallas for the winter meetings, which are about to wrap up. So they've been there all week. Dallas. We know they signed Jordan Romano, the closer or the relief pitcher, whatever, he'll be here. Late inning guy. But Hugh, that's been it. Phillies have been quiet on all other fronts, but it does seem like things might start to be picking up. Yesterday, Rob Thompson was on with MLB Network, and this seemed to me like damage control. Here is Rob Thompson saying, don't believe any of those rumors. We're not shopping Alec Boehm. Here's the manager.
Certainly, you've had a lot of talent on that team, the Kyle Schwarbers, the Trey Turners, the Bryce Harpers. When you look at someone like Alec Boehm, Topper, how would you evaluate his game?
Geez, he's really improved so much. You know, this is, and I know the rumors are flying all over the place. We're not shopping him, but people are approaching us on him, so you got to listen. But this guy has improved so much, not just physically, but mentally over the course of the year, the 3-4 years he's been in the big leagues. Bobby Dickerson, who Buck knows very well, has done an unbelievable job with Alec, getting be better defensively. Throwing accuracy, glove action. He's really a good hitter because he does the things that I was talking about not chasing. He does get good pitches to hit. He uses the entire field. He makes contact. That's why he's so good hitting behind Harper, because he's going to put the ball in play with runners in scoring position. He's not going to strike out. You can pretty much book an RBI if Alec is at the plate with less than two outs and runner in scoring position.
Hugh, where do you put the FIB meter on that one? We're not shopping.
At high. Yeah. I mean, but you got to say that, and you also have to, you know, keep other teams interested. I think it was kind of interesting the way he said. He said, we're not shopping him, but people are calling.
Mm-hmm.
People are calling because they know you're shopping him.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think you're in a position now where people are calling, but the offers are not where you want them to be.
I think you're right. And I also think they realize now it might be a little more complicated to get another third baseman in here.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they don't have a contingency plan lined up, they may
have to walk it back.
Yeah, so Willy Adames was a name that came up a few weeks ago. He signed with the Giants earlier this weekend, or last weekend, before the Soto news broke, so kind of got lost in the shuffle. He got a lot of money from San Francisco. Another guy is Alex Bregman, right?
That was a name that was kicked around a lot.
Yes, but now teams that missed out on Soto, but everyone knows they got a lot of money, that might be the pivot. The Red Sox.
The price of the break went up for Bregman.
Exactly. So the Red Sox Astros are trying to, they want to bring him back in Houston. Red Sox are reportedly in on the Bregman thing, so I don't know if they're going to get Bregman. So they may be forced to walk back the Boehm thing, and maybe this is the beginning of that. There is one name I keep paying attention to, though, as maybe a potential fit for the Phillies. So last night, Hugh, Nolan Arenado, who at one point was probably the best third baseman in baseball,
mm-hmm.
he slipped a little bit the last couple of years, doesn't hit as much as he used to, was once the best defensive third baseman. Again, he's probably in decline compared to what he used to be. He definitely is in decline. But the Cardinals have talked about rebuilding. I think they would trade him, and then he has a no trade, but last night this came out. This was reported. He has six teams he would waive his no trade for. One of those teams, Hugh Douglas?
Is us.
Is the Phillies. The teams are the Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox. Few of those teams have third baseman already. I feel like there's a fit there. Arenado, he's not the player he once was, but Kyle, if they could trade Boehm and get a pitcher back, and they could get Arenado from the Cardinals, and maybe the Cardinals pay down some of his salary because he's pretty expensive, and they look like they're ready to dump him, I would take Nolan Arenado.
So you're saying a two-for-one?
Yeah.
Like, get a pitcher?
Get a pitcher for Boehm, and then trade something to get Arenado.
Okay.
Or just take him.
Okay, get a pitcher. I see what you're saying. Get a pitcher. Go out and get a pitcher for Boehm.
Right, get something for Boehm.
And then go get this guy.
Yep.
This is one of those like rare times, I think, in baseball where, to me, the money situation would matter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overpay for a guy that might just end up giving me similar production to Alec Boehm, who's way cheaper, cost-controlled, younger.
So his numbers last year were Boehmish, because he's declined. I mean, he used to be a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy. Last year he had 16 home runs, which is Boehm kind of numbers. But, you know, sometimes good players have down years, they bounce back.
Like,
Arenado's been at a level Boehm's never been at his best.
Yeah, his ceiling is much higher.
At first I heard this, I was like, Nolan Arenado, maybe he's cooked, but I don't know. If they pay down some of the money and they just want to dump him, I am interested, at least on the surface.
Yeah, but this sounds like you're making a move just to make a move.
And you're trading away a young guy just because you don't want it to be the same as it was last year.
Well, what if they've already determined they don't want Boehm here? Then they got to figure, like, who's playing? I keep coming back to this. If Boehm's gone, who's playing third base?
Yeah, and it did sound like as soon as the season was over, that was the move that was going to be made. Yep. So now it's I don't know, Joe. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it feels like at this point you're making a move just to say you made a move.
I agree. I will, like, if it feels as though they feel like there's no way Alec Boehm's coming back next year, then fine. I'm okay with this. Obviously, they need a third baseman. Arenado's, like we just mentioned, a high enough ceiling player. It's just a little bit underwhelming for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, if it was...
Yeah, with everything that we were...
It is underwhelming.
Basically had on the table, like Bregman, I think Bregman was a name that had people somewhat excited. You know, the Soto thing didn't happen. So now it feels like you just want to do something. Not you, just saying the Phillies. Yeah. They just want to do something just to say they did something.
It feels it feels more name power than substance, sort of like, not the contract, but sort of like the Trey Turner thing. Where they're like,
he's
wow,
not the player he used
Trey
to be.
Trey Turner.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Now, again, I think it's part of it is if they pay down the contract, then it's like you're getting a player that used to be great for not that much. We'll see. But Arenado has the Phillies on his list he would go to. And we got Topper out there yesterday saying, yeah, we're not chopping Alec Boehm. All right, I don't buy it. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls right now. T in South Philly. What's up, T?
T?
This one.
Not on you?
That's not on you. The moment was too big.
Let's go back to Kim. Now, Kim held on after Kyle muted her. Kim, what's up?
My fault, Kim.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
This hey,
call
how you
will
doing?
Be recorded.
Hey, Kim.
You know, little concern,
excuse
obviously.
Me? Yeah, we get recorded. Yeah.
My take is, so we have an 11-2 team. Mm-hmm. We have the most compassionate, committed fan base in the NFL. And I think I speak from a lot of fans that we are definitely concerned with the drama that's happening. They're adults. They need to figure it out. It's a business. It's not personal.
So, Kim, I agree with you, but unfortunately it feels like there might be some personal stuff that, like, that's what Brandon was saying, then, right? We got to make sure we don't mix personal feelings and let it ruin business, which is obviously the business of trying to win games. I think you're right. I don't know what the issue is between those two, but they've got to figure it out.
Exactly. And the only way to do that is and have them talk it out. And if they can't do it that way, I don't care. Give them some boxing gloves. Let them.
Now you're up in speaking Hughes language.
Yeah, you got to have a come. That's a real come to Jesus moment.
Listen, I got two boys, and if you can't talk it out, get the gloves, go out back, do what you got to do, come back in different people, because this is no joke, man. We have the opportunity to go to the biggest game. We are grit. We can do it. All sides of the ball can do it. These two got to get it together, and that's it. I mean, it's not that difficult. I feel like it shouldn't be this difficult. Like,
it should. No, Kim, it shouldn't, especially when everything else is so good. Like you said, they're 11-2. They have an offensive line and a defensive line and good coaches. Like, it's all set up. Just figure it out.
Just figure it. Just put it behind you. Play ball. It's football.
Ain't that hard.
Throwing the ball when he's open. I do think Jalen's in his head a little bit over the turnover situation. So I do think he has a little bit to work. You know, he's got to get that figured out. But we got to get it done today, man. Monday is coming, and it's going to be here before we know it. And I think we rely a lot on Saquon Barkley. He's a beast. But again, you can't win a Super Bowl with just your run. You're not going to do that.
No, you need it all. You need the passing game, too. Well, we appreciate it, Kim. So what would we do as a show and a station if we found out Sirianni's way of helping them was hand them boxing gloves and saying, guys, just figure it out?
That would be pretty cool.
Hughes down.
I mean, that's cool, but I don't think that either one of them would do that.
Hughes been known to fight a teammate.
Why? How my name get pulled off in there? Technically, it wasn't a fight.
Everyone's thinking it this week.
You really ask me how you ended up associated with that?
It was a disagreement. Yeah, it was a disagreement.
You think Kyle's the only person who thought of that? I mean, as I'm listening to Brandon Graham, I'm thinking this is his Hugh Douglas moment.
Didn't you punch T.O. in the face?
No, I didn't. We had a disagreement. We had a tete-a-tete.
It's a little tete-a-tete.
What's a little tete-a-tete? You know, we had a disagreement. There was a lot of, you know, bravado. A lot of tough talk.
Nothing lasts like Eagles drama. 20 years later, we're still
20 them things later. And we still. And Fred X on the TikTok with a pot stirring, laughing. Still waters run deep, man. Like I follow, like Fred. Let me just take a moment. I follow Fred X on the social media. Uh-huh. Like I like the fact that he likes to fish. Fred fishes around here a lot somewhere. He does fishing. But as soon as this thing hit, Fred got on the phone, and
drama.
And I was just like, wow. And then, you know, because I'm a part of that, I get drawn into that a little bit, too.
You're part of all this.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
you know,
man.
Has anyone wondered if Hugh's the main issue here? Everywhere you drama follows.
No, I'm sitting back. And
hold on. AJ and Jalen were good until you got here.
Is that what it was?
I mean, that first year? I'm just saying, maybe the source of drama is Hugh Douglas.
There might be something to that. Might be something to that.
This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, let's talk to Rashad in South Philly. Hey, Rashad.
Yo, fellas, what's the deal?
What's going on,
Rashad?
Can
you hear me?
We got you.
We got you.
All right, cool. Hey, listen. It was a scene in Rocky. I want to say it was Rocky 3. Two good friends. Apollo Creed and Rocky. Apollo was training Rocky. Rocky wasn't into it. His confidence wasn't there. And Apollo said the famous words to him, like, yo, there is no tomorrow, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there is no tomorrow, Rocky. Now's the time where we got to be in playoff mode. Now's the time where we got to start thinking about Super Bowl. And AJ is telling the entire team, including his quarterback, there is no tomorrow, man. I have no problem with what he said. I don't like the whole public thing, but there is no tomorrow, man. And shout out to the Unk on ESPN, man. You don't tolerate things in the win that you win in the loss, man. And if him throwing 100 yards and him not throwing the ball downfield and him not getting A.J. Brown involved is not going to win us the Super Bowl, which is not. Then you can't tolerate that, man. We got to get it going right now. This offense is a high-octane offense, man. You got out of 1 out of 10 on the offensive scale, we're probably rolling at a 6. This team should be blowing teams out left and right with the run game and the pass game. We're not doing it. So that's my first.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, while all this nonsense, drama is going on with the Eagles this week, the Phillies are down in Dallas for the winter meetings, which are about to wrap up. So they've been there all week. Dallas. We know they signed Jordan Romano, the closer or the relief pitcher, whatever, he'll be here. Late inning guy. But Hugh, that's been it. Phillies have been quiet on all other fronts, but it does seem like things might start to be picking up. Yesterday, Rob Thompson was on with MLB Network, and this seemed to me like damage control. Here is Rob Thompson saying, don't believe any of those rumors. We're not shopping Alec Boehm. Here is the manager.
Certainly, you've had a lot of talent on that team, the Kyle Schwarbers, the Trey Turners, the Bryce Harpers. When you look at someone like Alec Boehm, Topper, how would you evaluate his game?
Geez, he's really improved so much. You know, this is, and I know the rumors are flying all over the place. We're not shopping him, but people are approaching us on him, so you got to listen. But this guy has improved so much, not just physically, but mentally over the course of the year, the 3-4 years he's been in the big leagues. Bobby Dickerson, who Buck knows very well, has done an unbelievable job with Alec, getting be better defensively. Throwing accuracy, glove action. He's really a good hitter because he does the things that I was talking about not chasing. He does get good pitches to hit. He uses the entire field. He makes contact. That's why he's so good hitting behind Harper, because he's going to put the ball in play with runners in scoring position. He's not going to strike out. You can pretty much book an RBI if Alec is at the plate with less than 2 outs and runner in scoring position.
Hugh, where do you put the FIB meter on that one? We're not shopping.
At high. Yeah. I mean, but you got to say that, and you also have to, you know, keep other teams interested. I think it was kind of interesting the way he said. He said, we're not shopping him, but people are calling.
Mm-hmm.
People are calling because they know you're shopping him. You know what I mean? But I think you're in a position now where
people are calling, but the offers are not where you want them to be.
I also, yeah, I think you're right. And I also think they realize now it might be a little more complicated to get another third baseman in here.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they don't have a contingency plan lined up, they may
have to walk it back.
Yeah, so Willy Adames was a name that came up a few weeks ago. He signed with the Giants earlier this weekend, or last weekend, before the Soto news broke, so kind of got lost in the shuffle. He got a lot of money from San Francisco. Another guy is Alex Bregman, right?
His name that was a name that was kicked around a lot.
Yes, but now teams that missed out on Soto, but everyone knows they got a lot of money, that might be the pivot. The Red Sox.
The price of the break went up for Bregman.
Exactly. So the Red Sox Astros are trying to, you know, they want to bring him back in Houston. Red Sox are reportedly in on the Bregman thing, so I don't know if they're going to get Bregman. So they may be forced to walk back the Bohm thing, and maybe this is the beginning of that. There is one name I keep paying attention to, though, as maybe a potential fit for the Phillies. So last night, Hugh, Nolan Arenado, who at one point was probably the best third baseman in baseball,
mm-hmm.
he slipped a little bit the last couple of years, doesn't hit as much as he used to, was once the best defensive third baseman. Again, he's probably in decline compared to what he used to be. He definitely is in decline. But the Cardinals have talked about rebuilding. I think they would trade him, and then he has a no trade, but last night this came out. This was reported. He has six teams he would waive his no trade for. One of those teams, Hugh Douglas?
Is us.
Is the Phillies. The teams are the Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox. Few of those teams have third baseman already. I feel like there's a fit there. Arenado, he's not the player he once was, but Kyle, if they could trade Bohm and get a pitcher back, and they could get Arenado from the Cardinals, and maybe the Cardinals pay down some of his salary because he's pretty expensive, and they look like they're ready to dump him, I would take Nolan Arenado.
So you're saying a 2-for-1?
Yeah.
You said, like, get a pitcher?
Get a pitcher for Bohm, and then uh-huh. trade something to get Arenado.
Okay.
Or just take
okay,
him.
Okay, get a pitcher. I see what you're saying. Get a pitcher. Go out and get a pitcher for Bohm.
Right, get something for Bohm.
And then go get this guy.
Yep.
This is one of those, like, rare times, I think, in baseball where, to me, the money situation would matter a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overpay for a guy that might just end up giving me similar production to Alec Bohm, who's way cheaper, cost-controlled, younger.
So his numbers last year were Bohm-ish, because he's declined. I mean, he used to be a 30-home run, 100 RBI guy. Last year he had 16 home runs, which is Bohm kind of numbers. But, you know, sometimes good players have down years, they bounce back.
Like,
but Arenado's been at a level Bohm's never been at his best.
Yeah, his ceiling is much higher.
I at first I heard this, I was like, Nolan Arenado, maybe he's cooked, but I don't know. If they pay down some of the money and they just want to dump him, I am interested, at least on the surface.
Yeah, but this sounds like you're making a move just to make a move. And you're trading away a young guy just because you don't want it to be the same as it was last year.
Well, what if they've already determined they don't want Bohm here? Then they got to figure, like, who's playing? I keep coming back to this. If Bohm's gone, who's playing third base?
Yeah, and it did sound like as soon as the season was over, that was the move that was going to be made. Yep. So now it's I don't know, Joe. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it feels like at this point you're making a move just to say you made a move.
I agree. I will, like, if it feels as though they feel like there's no way Alec Bohm's coming back next year, then fine. I'm okay with this. Obviously, they need a third baseman. Arenado's, like we just mentioned, a high enough ceiling player. It's just a little bit underwhelming for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, if it was...
Yeah, with everything that
it is underwhelming.
We basically had on the table, like, Bregman. I think Bregman was a name that had people somewhat excited. You know, the Soto thing didn't happen. So now it feels like you just want to do something. Not you, just saying the Phillies. Yeah. They just want to do something just to say they did something.
It feels feels more name power than substance, sort of like, not the contract, but sort of like the Trey Turner thing. Where they're like,
he's not the player he used
Trey
to be.
Trey Turner.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Now, again, I think it's part of it is if they pay down the contract, then it's like you're getting a player that used to be great for not that much. We'll see. But Arenado has the Phillies on his list he would go to. And we got Topper out there yesterday saying, we're not chopping Alec Bohm. All right, I don't buy it. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls right now. T in South Philly. What's up, T?
T.
T?
This one.
Not on you?
That's not on you. The moment was too big.
Let's go back to Kim. Now, Kim held on after Kyle muted her. Kim, what's up?
My fault, Kim.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
This
call
how you
will
doing?
Be recorded.
Hey, Kim.
You know, little concerned, obviously. My take is, so we have an 11-2 team. Mm-hmm. We have the most compassionate, committed fan base in the NFL, and I think I speak from a lot of fans, that we are definitely concerned with the drama that's happening. They're adults. They need to figure it out. It's a business. It's not personal.
So, Kim, I agree with you, but unfortunately it feels like there might be some personal stuff that, like, that's what Brandon was saying, right? Right? We got to make sure we don't mix
personal feel,
personal feelings, and let it ruin business, which is obviously the business of trying to win games. I think you're right. I don't know what the issue is between those two, but they've got to figure it out.
Exactly, and the only way to do that is and have them talk it out. And if they can't do it that way, I don't care. Give them some boxing gloves. Let them.
Now you're up in speaking Hughes language.
Yeah, you got to have a come. That's a real come to Jesus moment.
Listen, I got two boys, and if you can't talk it out, get the gloves, go out back, do what you got to do, come back in different people, because this is no joke, man. We have the opportunity to go to the biggest game. We are grit. We can do it. All sides of the ball can do it. These two got to get it together, and that's it. I mean, it's not that difficult. I feel like it shouldn't be this difficult. Like,
it should. No, Kim, it shouldn't, especially when everything else is so good. Like you said, they're 11-2. They have an offensive line and a defensive line and good coaches. Like, it's all set up. Just figure it out.
Just put it behind you. Play ball. It's football.
Ain't that hard.
Throw him the ball when he's open. I do think Jalen's in his head a little bit over the turnover situation. So I do think he has a little bit to work. You know, he's got to get that figured out. But we got to get it done today, man. Monday is coming, and it's going to be here before we know it. And I think we rely a lot on Saquon Barkley. He's a beast. But again, you can't win a Super Bowl with just your run. You're not going to do that.
No, you need it all. You need the passing game, too. Well, we appreciate it, Kim. So what would we do as a show and a station if we found out Sirianni's way of helping them was hand them boxing gloves and saying, guys, just figure it out?
That would be pretty cool.
Hughes down.
I mean, that's cool, but I don't think that either one of them would do that.
Hughes been known to fight a teammate.
Why? How my name get pulled off in there? Technically, it wasn't a fight.
Everyone's thinking it this week.
You really asked me how you ended up associated with that.
It was a disagreement. Yeah, it was a disagreement.
You think Kyle's the only person who thought of that? I mean, as I'm listening to Brandon Graham, I'm thinking this is his Hugh Douglas moment.
Didn't you punch T.O. in the face?
No, I didn't. We had a disagreement. We had a tete-a-tete.
It's a little tete-a-tete.
What's a little tete-a-tete? You know, we had a disagreement. There was a lot of, you know, bravado. A lot of tough talk.
Nothing lasts like Eagles drama. 20 years later, we're still
20 of them things later. We still, and Fred X on the TikTok with a pot stirring, laughing. Still waters run deep, man. Like I follow, like Fred. Let me just take a moment. I follow Fred X on the social media. Uh-huh. Like I like the fact that he likes to fish. Fred fishes around here a lot somewhere. He does fishing. But as soon as this thing hit, Fred got on the phone,
drama.
And I was just like, wow. And then, you know, because I'm a part of that, I get drawn into that a little bit, too.
You're part of all this.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
you know,
man.
Has anyone wondered if Hughes the main issue here? Everywhere you drama follows.
No, I'm sitting back.
Hold on, AJ and Jalen were good until you got here.
Is that what it was?
I mean, that first year? I'm just saying, maybe the source of drama is Hugh Douglas.
Might be something to that. Yeah. Might be something to that.
This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, let's talk to Rashad in South Philly. Hey, Rashad.
Yo, fellas, what's the deal?
What's going on,
Rashad?
Yo, can you hear me?
We got you.
All right, cool. Hey, listen, it was a scene in Rocky. I want to say it was Rocky 3. Two good friends. Apollo Creed and Rocky. Apollo was training Rocky. Rocky wasn't into it. His confidence wasn't there. And Apollo said the famous words to him, like, yo, there is no tomorrow, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there is no tomorrow, Rocky. Now's the time where we got to be in playoff mode. Now's the time where we got to start thinking about Super Bowl. And AJ is telling the entire team, including his quarterback, there is no tomorrow, man. I have no problem with what he said. I don't like the whole public thing, but there is no tomorrow, man. And shout out to the Unk on ESPN, man.
you don't tolerate things in a win that you win in a loss, man. And if him throwing 100 yards and him not throwing the ball downfield and him not getting A.J. Brown involved is not going to win us the Super Bowl, which is not, then you can't tolerate that, man. We got to get it going right now. This offense is a high-octane offense, man. You got out of 1 out of 10 on the offensive scale, we're probably rolling at a 6. This team should be blowing teams out left and right with the run game and the pass game. We're not doing this. That's my first.